Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? We look forward to seeing you on the 4th of April. The church never closed. We're still having church. But we'll be now meeting physically on the 4th of April. So we celebrate that. You know, wherever you are, just find a way of just celebrating that, whether it's a show of a clap of hands, it's a thumbs up, or it's a utilization on your media platform. But we're excited, and we look forward to seeing you, just like Pastor Walker said, on the 4th of April, when we open for our physical meetings. God is good. Well, we're going to continue in God's Word this morning. And as usual, I like to start by asking a question. But today I have several questions, not just one, several questions. So if you have your notebook, your iPads, whatever it is that you use to take down notes, and it's important to take down notes, because what you write down gets done and it sticks in your heart and you can live it out. So here are several questions, there's four of them. Number one is, are you tired and weary? Are you bent out and worn out? Are you exhausted? Have you lost your strength? Now, have you ever wondered that tiredness, weariness, burnout, worn-outness, exhaustion, and lack of strength could actually be tied to much more than just sleep deprivation, poor diet, stress, or health complications? What if it's deeper than you think? You know, sometimes you think, well, I'm weary, I'm tired, I'm bent out, I'm worn out. Maybe if I went for a vacation, if I went for a holiday, if I took some time off, if I slept more, if I ate better, if I drank more water and I exercised a whole lot more, I would feel better. And sometimes it does help, but also it's been proved that doing all those things, they necessarily take away that feeling of exhaustion. It doesn't take away that sense of burnout. It doesn't take away worn-outness or weariness. It doesn't always restore your strength. The restoration of our strength is deeper than we think. It goes beyond physical exercise. It goes beyond diet. It goes beyond sleep. It goes beyond vacations and all these other things that we do in order to rejuvenate ourselves. Those things are important, but it's deeper than that. Today is the last part of a three-part sermon series that seeks to explore and explain that God is our source. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 6, read from the Amplified, "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, who is the source of all things." And Paul is saying that we have one God, and this God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But this God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is the source of everything that we need in life. It literally means that everything that we need flows from God. God is our source of wisdom. God is our source of provision. God is our source for every detail of our life. Like Pastor Konrani prayed, in Him we move, we live, and have our being. God is the very firm foundation upon which our lives are built. Now, we're still making the resource available, 70 scriptures that prove that God is our source. You can access that on our Facebook page. You can also download that on the church app, or better still, you can go to the website. On the connection group section at the bottom there, you will find a link that you can click to download that document, which has 70 scriptures that prove that God is our source. We looked at God as our source of wisdom. We looked at God as our source of provision. Now we want to look at God as our source of strength. Strength. Why do you need it? Where does it come from? What kind of strength do we need the most? And how do we get that strength? And what is it for? What is that strength for? Let's begin to explore this topic on strength. Because, you know, if we admit, if we face it, we all need strength. Why do we need strength? Well, we need strength because we are living in very stressful times. Not just this period that we've been in because of the global pandemic. Our research has shown that this generation is living in one of the most stressful times of all time. Our lives are daily bombarded by noises that are constantly calling for our attention from every direction. The internet. There's over 100 radio stations I heard on Friday in the city of Lusaka alone. I don't even know how many there are in the world. I have an app on my phone that allows me to surf radio stations around the world. There's so many. Since I downloaded this app, I've not even been able to exhaust 10 radio stations alone. There's so many things that are calling for our attention on a daily basis. Parenting, parenting needs, being a husband, being a wife, being a father, you know, being an employee, being an employer, traffic, and all the things that call for our attention. We are daily bombarded by the noises of life. In the process, people lose strength. In the process, people run out of strength. Now, I have a list here that I put together. It's not exactly comprehensive. It's not exhaustive. But it gives an idea of the things that could, in the process of life, help take us to a place where we lose our strength. It gives an idea of the things that could make us lose our strength. Maybe some of these will resonate with you. Marriage or relational breakdown can make you lose your strength. Loss of loved ones due to death. We know many people who lost loved ones just in this period of the global pandemic alone. Trauma, disappointment in life, past experiences that create patterns of hopelessness, job and health issues, disconnect from the source of life. And I think this is the big one. Disconnect from God. Disconnect from the source of strength. Disconnect from the source of life. You know, most of you know this, maybe you don't, but I run. I'm still on a target to run a full marathon. I do know lots of people in our church who have run full marathons. Some have even run beyond full marathons. But you know, when you run, you start with vigor and you start with strength. But as you keep going over the long haul, you run out of strength. And so there are things that sometimes exercise therapists encourage that you should do to help you regain your strength. So you can drink some water, you can stop and eat some fruit and then continue running, especially if you're running over a long, if you're running over a long distance. But you know what I find the most, what keeps me going is not the external things that I take, the water or the fruit. It's what's at my core. It's what's in the inside. If I'm determined in the inside to finish the whole course, to run the race, and to complete the miles or to complete the kilometers, I found that I always run to the finish. But if I'm broken inside, if I'm already defeated, if I feel the distance is long and I can't endure it, especially at the beginning, halfway, by halfway or midpoint, I'm already discouraged and I begin to think of ways of giving up. And you know, for some strange reason, whatever I feel inside, the body begins to amplify on the outside. And it gives me reason even to stop running. And so what I'm simply trying to say is this, is that if things in the inside are okay, if things in the inside are well, things on the outside will also be in their right place. Defeat oftentimes takes place in the inside long before it manifests on the outside. Defeat oftentimes takes place in the inside long before it manifests on the outside. Isaiah 40, verse 29 and verse number 30, the Bible says, would you like to turn there with me? Isaiah 40, verse number 29 and 30. Talking about God, it says, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know, the Bible says even the best amongst us need strength. Even the best amongst us need strength. Notice it says even the young men shall utterly fall. Why do we need strength? We need strength because life sometimes brings us to nothing. These are things that happen outside of us that rob us of strength. We also need strength because We run out and we run low. These are things within us. Things within us that rob us of the strength that we need. You see, the first reason is an external factor, while the second is internal. Now, whether it's external or internal factors at play, we all need strength. Where does the strength that we need come from? Where does this strength come from? Well, this strength does not come from exercise, like I said. It doesn't come from sleep. It doesn't come from taking a vacation or a holiday. Even though those things are good and you should do those things, you should do those things in your factor, they will help you have a balance. The strength that we need comes from the Lord. Let's go back to Isaiah 40. But this time, let's go a few verses before 30 and look at verse number 29 and 28. So 28 and verse number 29. It gives us an idea of where this strength comes from. Listen to what the Bible says. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Just as God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, he is the source of everything. God is the source of the strength that you and I need. The strength we need comes from the everlasting God. The strength we need comes from the everlasting God. It comes from God. It does not come from man. It does not come from a quick fix. It doesn't come from a booster. You know, I remember the advert that we used to watch growing up, the Energizer Bunny or the Energizer Rabbit, whose energy never runs out. Even the Energizer Bunny runs out of strength. But our God does not run out of strength. And he is the source of strength. He's the source of strength. What kind of strength do you need? What kind of strength do you need? You know, the book of Ephesians, the book of Paul, one of the Pauline epistles, it's the first in the order of what we refer to as prisons, prison epistles. The prison epistles are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. They make the trilogy of what is known as the prison epistles. And then we have other epistles that Paul wrote. Now, the book of Ephesians is a great book. In Ephesians, Paul writes not only about the supremacy of Christ. In Ephesians, Paul writes about the centrality of the church. He writes about this new organism on the face of the earth that Jesus instituted. And he says, there is nothing quite like the church on all the earth. The church is a unique organism. It's different. And Paul talks about how we as members of the church have been equipped to live out the fullness of God's grace manifest on the earth. In the first three chapters, Paul talks about us being seated in heavenly places with Christ. And that is our wealth and our identity. In the last three chapters, chapter 3 to 5, Paul talks about our walk. Our walk, and he says we are to walk worthy of the Lord. Live out the gospel. In other words, Paul is saying, if this is your talk, if this is your position, this is your identity, therefore you must walk the talk. You must walk in your new identity. Then in the last chapter, Paul calls us to stand in our spiritual place. So he says first, walk. He begins by saying, be seated. Then he says, walk. And then he says, stand in your spiritual place, in your spiritual authority, or in other words, in supernatural strength. There's an interesting verse in chapter number 6 and verse number 10 that talks about how we are to stand. After having done all these things, after having gotten a comprehension of our identity, after having been solidified in who we are in Christ, like we say, like we sing in song, I am who you say I am. In the first three chapters, Paul tells us about who we are in Christ. In the last three chapters, It tells us how we are to live out who we are in Christ. And after having said all these things, in verse number 10 of chapter number 6, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." In view of all these things, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, the word for strength that Paul uses in this verse is not referring to strength that comes from sleeping or resting. It does not refer to strength that comes from exercise or good diet. Paul is talking about divine power and ability. And this power is supernatural in its effect. It's extraordinary in its manifestation. Paul is referring to that which only God himself can do in and through us. This is divine power. In Acts chapter number 9, an example of this power is seen in Acts chapter number 9. When Paul was on, Paul, who then was known as Saul, was on his way to Damascus to go and persecute the church. And then he has what is known as the Damascus Road experience, where he encounters Jesus. His life is transformed forever. He becomes born again, and God is going to use him to become the vessel who would write the book of Ephesians, the prison epistles, and do many wonderful things to consolidate and strengthen the church of Jesus on the earth. So the Bible says in Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "And taking food, he was strengthened." So it indicates that he must have been weak. Why was he weak? Because the Bible says that for 3 days, Paul did not eat or so. He did not eat, and he did not drink anything. So for 3 days, no eating, no drinking, he was weak. And so in verse number 19, it says, after that he received the Holy Spirit, scales fell from his eyes, Ananias laid hands on him, he took food, and he was strengthened. Now, if you keep on reading in the chapter, as you go on further, in verse number 22, in verse number 22, not very far from verse number 19, the Bible again says, "But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus, proving that Jesus Christ was the Lord." Now, in that same chapter, there's two mentions of strength, verse number 19 and verse number 22. However, the two strength words are different. The strength word used in verse number 22 refers to an increase in strength, to be filled with power, strength, to make strong, from which we get the word dunamo, or from which we get the word dunamis, and from which we get the English word dynamite. It is explosive strength. So when the Bible says Saul increased all the more in strength, God wasn't just refreshing his body to survive another day. He was filling him with power to do the impossible. God was filling him with power to do the impossible. The things that Saul could not do of and by himself, now there was a divine strength to do those things. Saul could not, the certain things that he could not do even by himself, now there was a strength that came from above. It's an extraordinary strength. It's a divine strength. It's a heavenly strength that empowered Saul to do the things that he could do. You know, you can have the strength that you need because of sleep. You can have the strength that you need because of a good diet. But then there is a strength that you need to do the things that God has called you to do. To be the kind of husband that God has called you to be. To be the kind of parent that God has called you to be. To be the kind of employee, doctor, lawyer, judge, physician, whatever it is that you've been called to do. Economist, banker, a leader, parent, wherever you are called to be, you need a supernatural kind of strength. How else can husband love their wives as Christ loved the church? How else can you parent your children in the way of the Lord? How else can you be an employee of integrity that honors transparency and does things right? It takes much more than strength that comes from sleeping. It takes a divine and a supernatural strength. Just like Paul said in Ephesians 6 verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. This kind of strength enables us to understand and explain the word of God. It enables us to heal, to lay hands on the sick, and the sick are recover. It enables us to do good. It enables us to perform miracles. Divine strength to step out of our comfort zone and to do all that God has called us to do. You know, I hear of people who say, I know I'm called to do this thing. I know I've been given this gifting, but I just feel like I'm scared, I'm timid. You know, but when the divine strength comes upon you, you can step out of your comfort zone. You can step out of your fear zone. You can do the impossible. You can serve and work for the Lord. You can do all those things that God has called you to do. It's a supernatural strength. We need the Lord's strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not strong in you. It's not being strong in you. It's being strong in the Lord. It's not strength in your ability. It's not strength in your knowledge. He says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. Be strong in the Lord. So what kind of strength do you need? You need the strength that comes from above. The strength that is of the Lord to energize you and to work in and through you. Quit relying on your own strength and begin to rely on God's strength. You know, there's no Bible verse that says that God helps those who help themselves. You know what? But the Bible is full of scriptures that show us that God helps those who depend on him. How do we receive the strength that we need? How do we receive the strength that we need? Three things. Number one, the strength that we need is received by faith. The strength that we need is received by faith. No unbelief made him wither concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Romans 4 verse 20 and 21. No unbelief made him wither concerning the promises of God. The Bible says because Abraham held on to the promises of God, he increased in strength. He increased in strength. His faith grew strong. He held on to the promises of God. The strength we need most does not begin in our arms or our legs or our back or somewhere deep inside just based upon our own imaginations. The strength that we need begins in the inside. It's about something strong inside. It's about something inside so strong. The fatigue we feel physically should remind us of how quickly our hearts are prone to fail. Wisdom will ask God to strengthen your faith more often than it asks him to strengthen your body. Wisdom will ask God to strengthen your faith more often than it does ask him to strengthen your body. Two, the strength that we need is received by the grace of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The strength we need the most is not earned. It is not achieved. It is not micromanaged. It is a gift from God. It is given to the undeserving. If you think you can schedule it, if you think you can diet it, if you think you can slip your way into real strength, you are deceived. You lack the resources in you to do it of and by yourself. Real strength knows that apart from him, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. So the strength that you need comes from the Lord. Number three, the strength that you need is received from God's strength. Ephesians 6, verse number 10, we referred to it already. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The strength you need can only be experienced when you stop tapping into your own strength and you begin to rely on his strength. Society may want you to believe you'll be filled with unbounded. You know, society wants you to believe that you are filled with unbounded potential to accomplish the impossible, to do all that you dream, to achieve anything and all that you want. However, to do anything truly meaningful or lasting is realizing that you will not achieve anything truly meaningful or lasting in your own ability. If you feel weak, you do not need more of you. You need more of him. So if you're feeling weak right now, you don't need more of you. You need more of him. And in conclusion, what do we need this strength for? What is this strength for? Are we just energized just to be happy and to be filled with energy and just run around and have a party? There are certain things that the scripture shows us why we need this strength. Number one, this strength strengthens us against evil. Ephesians 6, verse number 11 and 12. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You see, friend, the strength you need today is not simply preparing us to survive another day, or to survive another day of work, to survive another day of marriage, to survive another day of parenting, or to survive another day of ministry. The strength that you need prepares you to face evil and to overcome. The evil that deceives us from within and the evil attacking us from without, it prepares us to stand in our place where we can fully effect what Jesus did for us on the cross when he defeated and disarmed the devil. You know what? If you try to face the devil and his demons on your own, burnout is the last thing that you'll be dealing with. Never you try to face the devil in your own strength. Let me use Pastor Yonkan Tumoyo's words. Never go into the battlefield of life without the armor that God gives to us. Only God's divine strength can empower you to be able to face the devil and all his agents and overcome. The strength that we need is the strength for service. 1 Timothy 1, Paul says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer. The strength you need the most today is not meant for you to keep it to yourself, but it is to be expended on the service and the good of others. When God showers us with his grace and sends us his strength, he means for us to spend that strength on the needs and the interests of other people. When you use your strength to, when you use the strength received from God to serve others and not our own interest, God gets the glory. God gets the glory. By the strength that God supplies, we are able to do what we do for others. And number three, he strengthens us to speak. 2 Timothy 4, in verse number 17, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed to all the Gentiles. When you ask God for the strength to do what he has called you to do today, remember that he has equipped you to be able to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to go out there and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In conclusion, Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 11, to 13. I have learned in whatever situation. Please read this verse with me. I have learned in whatever situation you might be in right now, to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret. What is the secret of succeeding in any and every circumstance? In facing plenty and hunger, in abundance and need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says, you know, whether I'm high, whether I'm low, whether I'm somewhere in between, I'm only sustained because of the strength of God. God strengthens us not only to defy the devil's attacks, not only to serve others and to share boldly, to be content in every circumstance, to experience a deep and a confident joy in him regardless of our highs and our lows, joys and frustrations, triumphs and trials. God strengthens us to succeed in every aspect of life. So let me end by asking those questions I asked. Are you tired and weary? Look to him, the source of strength. Are you bent out and worn out? Look to him, the source of strength. Are you exhausted? Look to him, the source of strength. Have you lost your strength? Let's end by reflecting on the words of Isaiah, the the Holy Spirit inspired him to write these words to us. They are real today and as powerful as they were then when they were penned down. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My brother, my sister, wait on the Lord. He alone is our source of strength. And having done all these things, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Your goodness and for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your loving kindness. Lord, wherever we are right now, we ask You to strengthen us. Strengthen our marriages. Strengthen our parenting. Strengthen our children. Strengthen our homes. Strengthen us for work. Strengthen us for school. Strengthen us for ministry and for service. Lord, give us strength, like we sing in song, to live for You and to glorify Your name. So I pray for whoever is watching this broadcast, that Lord, they will not grow weary, but they'll be encouraged in the Lord. I just feel led by the Lord, and a few days ago the Lord told me to say this. There's somebody who's watching this broadcast. You've reached a point where you're giving up on life. You're giving up on the Lord and you're giving up on ministry. The Lord would have you know that He is the source of strength. Do not give up. Do not grow weary in doing good. For in due season you will reap if you faint not. And the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He's a God who is able to renew your strength and to give you a hope and a future. So my brother, my sister, wherever you are, whoever you are, don't give up. God will strengthen you and you will accomplish the purpose for which He placed you on the earth for. Talking about purpose, the greatest purpose that God called us for is the purpose to have a relationship with Him through faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we don't want to end this broadcast, this service, without giving an opportunity to confess your sins and to make Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord. Wherever you are watching this broadcast from, please pray with me. If you know you're not a Christian, if you know your sins are not forgiven, if you know you have not made things right with God, God is able to give you the strength to live for Him and to serve Him only. So would you please just pray with me this prayer? Say, dear Lord, I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins. I confess that He is Lord, and I receive Him as my Lord and my Savior. I thank You that I'm Your child, and that You love me, and that You give me the strength to live for You. In Your name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, please do in the comment section or whatever media platform that you're using, write and say, I prayed that prayer with Pastor Benjamin to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Just those are the key words. I prayed that prayer to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And if you're on Facebook, someone will respond to you with instructions. If you're watching this on the YouTube channel, there are numbers on your screens right now. Please do send us a text message just saying, I prayed that prayer to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And somebody will call you back. Please respond to those needs. Now, if you're a member of our church and you need strength in your life, you need counseling, you need help, there's numbers on your screens right now. Please take note of those numbers. Call us. You don't need to battle this battle on your own. You don't need to stand alone. On the other side of the line are counselors, are care ministers who will be happy to pray with you and to encourage you and to help you reconnect to the source of life and receive the strength that you need. Now, as we come towards the end of our service, we do want to give an opportunity to be a blessing to the body of Christ, to be a blessing to our church through our giving. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice the word there is give. The key word is give. God is a giver, and He calls us His children to be givers. And so, giving instructions are on your screen right now. You can give through any one of the three mobile network accounts. You can send money through any one of those, whether Zamtel, Airtel, or MTN. You can make a direct deposit into our church accounts. Or better still, you can come to the campus grounds and deposit your cash in a safe deposit box that will be able to receive that. We want to thank you once again, like Pastor Gondwani highlighted. You know, in spite of all the situations, God met our needs. God met all the needs of our church, and we're able to be a blessing to many other in need, even during this situation. But it's because of you, because of your faithfulness, and because of your obedience. So please, do continue to give, and do continue to be a blessing. Remember the Good Friday service online. This Friday starts exactly at 18 hours. Whether you're using Facebook or you're going to use the YouTube channel, we look forward to seeing you as we reflect on the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll meet again. Now we'll meet physically to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord on Easter Sunday. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. And may the Lord give you strength. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday. God bless you.